You're listening to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White, and this November, California voters will decide who will serve in the state's top offices, including governor, attorney general, and secretary of state. California State Senator Alex Padilla is the front runner for the secretary of state race, coming in first place among a crowded field in the June primary. He is a Democrat who currently represents the state's 20th district, and that includes much of the San Fernando Valley. This afternoon and evening, he is visiting San Luis Obispo as part of his goal to meet with the elections officers in each of the state's 58 counties. Senator Padilla joins us in studio now. Welcome to KCBX.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I should mention, we have extended an invitation to your Republican challenger on the November ballot, Pete Peterson of Santa Monica, but we have yet to hear back from his campaign. I want to start with your current political body, the state Senate. Corruption has been the overriding issue of late, with three of your Democratic colleagues indicted or suspended in recent months. One of the main tasks for the Secretary of State's office is overseeing lobbyists, campaign finance reform, and other areas ripe for ethics violations. Should you win in November, how would you use your office to tackle this issue?
Well, I think you're right. It's a very timely issue, given not just one, not just two, but three members of the state Senate in their respective legal problems this year. While some may look at the official duties of the Secretary of State's office and point to them as strictly administerial, you receive the campaign filings, for example, how money's raised, how money's spent, the lobbyist registration, and just make sure that the public information is available to the public. I feel there's a need for a much closer working relationship with the FPPC, the enforcement arm of state government, when it comes to political activity in the state. That, and frankly, the recognition that the current rules and procedures aren't enough. You know, at the beginning of this year, even before Senator Yee's indictment happened, I had introduced a four-bill package of reform legislation in the Capitol, calling for the first time the most aggressive call for a fundraising blackout period, for example. My original bill called for no fundraising by legislators in the last 100 days of session, covering both the budget time period as well as what we call the end of session, when the biggest votes, the most significant votes are cast, and the fate of the biggest pieces of legislation is determined.
And that recently died in the Assembly, did it not?
It's up for reconsideration in the Assembly. The initial view of the Assembly Elections Committee was not favorable, but we haven't given up. In the state Senate, we've gone forward and adopted a rule by the Senate, for the Senate only, at this point, to create that fundraising blackout period for the last 30 days of session. So for the first time in as anybody can recall, a fundraising blackout period, no fundraising during the last 30 days of session, creating at least the beginning of that true separation for the public to see and believe between the legislative job and our political activity.
If I remember correctly, it had a favorable view from politicians when it just includes senators, but when it became open to both the Assembly and the Senate is when it became a stickier issue. Do I have that right?
Well, a little bit of that. And frankly, given the campaign and my road to visit all 58 counties during the course of the campaign, I can tell you the general public does not believe this is a problem that's only the Senate or only the Assembly. They view the legislature, they view the state capitol, and I think our reforms need to reflect that.
Another big role of the Secretary of State's office is to oversee business entities, all of the red tape that goes along with that as well. Senator, part of your visit to San Luis Obispo includes meeting with tech entrepreneurs and the Cal Poly Business Development Center. The Tax Foundation ranks California 48th out of 50 states for our business climate, and states like Texas have famously jumped on statistics like those. How would you describe California's business climate?
Well, I think that California's business climate is, on the one hand, not as bad as Texas and Florida and Arizona and Nevada would like you to believe, but it's still not as friendly as it should be. You know, we have a tremendous amount of talent and ideas and innovation. That's why those other states keep coming here to try to take companies away or try to steal our jobs, because they keep happening here. Now, the job of Secretary of State, unbeknownst to many, is an entrepreneur's first impression of California government. Before you can get a business up and running, before you even call the IRS for a tax ID number, you have to incorporate. And all these business registrations and filings is frankly the biggest job done by the California Secretary of State. Everybody knows the office for its elections arm and voter registration, but the business unit is by far the largest unit within the Secretary of State's office. That's the good news. The bad news is we're woefully behind in the utilization of technology to make those business registrations and updates easy. Texas, New York, Nevada, Delaware, to their credit, have allowed for online filings, for example. California, the hotbed of the Silicon Valley, we don't do that. And it's a shame that we don't. So that would be one of the priorities if elected Secretary of State that I'd want to bring into play, not just making it easier to start a business in California, but to have the entrepreneur, do a little handholding if necessary. Thank you for filing and investing in California, for wanting to create jobs. Let me walk you over to Consumer Affairs. Let me walk you over to the Public Utilities Commission. Let me walk you over to whatever the department or agency that's going to oversee that particular industry. We can do a lot better job of that.
Seems like there could be a simple YouTube or Vimeo video explaining to you how to go through the process and then have the forms available right there online. As a former business owner myself, I couldn't believe that a state that contains Silicon Valley wasn't advanced to the point that I could just file online.
Right. And that's a tremendous point right there. We know we have the ideas, the innovation in California. We have the talent base that the world is envious of, but we're not capitalizing on that to make it the state government to be more user-friendly, if you will. And we should. So whether it's within the Secretary of State's office or within state government, or having sort of an adjunct technology advisory committee, a tech surge, if you will, for making California user-friendly, that's something that I'm eager to get started.
And not just on the business owner's side, it seems like on the state's side, they would have all of their information already in the neat little boxes they would need it in, just through the application process, instead of having to go through all the paper forms.
Exactly. Government's big on data. We know who's here. We know what businesses are here. We know what business we want to keep here. But too often, the state's right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
Finally, you are on a mission, as you mentioned, to meet up with as many of the 58 county elections officers as possible, including San Luis Obispo County's Julie Rodewald. What are you hoping to learn through those interactions?
When I first decided, or announced that I was running for Secretary of State, I have a few ideas that I bring to the table. But I know that Sacramento doesn't have all the answers. And I know that every county is a little bit different. Every community is a little bit different. So the very core questions about our democracy and civic engagement, we know not everybody who's eligible is registered to vote. We need to do better on that. We know that all registered voters don't get out and vote every election. We need to do better on that. But the strategies that may work in Los Angeles, for example, to do so may or may not be the same strategies that would be effective here in San Luis Obispo. What works here may or may not be what's effective in Sonoma or Fresno or Imperial or other parts of the state. So I've been on this 58-county listening tour with elections officials in each community, but also with community leaders, elected officials, and others to try to glean those best practices, if you will. What are the ideas that are translatable to other regions of the state? What possible changes to state law do we need to help facilitate that? A lot of counties are aware, but some aren't, about a bill that I passed last session, SB 35, that builds on the motor voter model. I mean, most of the general public knows, as you're interacting with the DMV, you can register to vote or update your registration in the process. But it's only since I had this bill signed into law a couple years ago that we've added that functionality to our community colleges, the UC system, the CSU system, EDD, Veterans Affairs, a lot other state departments and agencies that interact with the public regularly, where we can seamlessly register people to vote if they're otherwise eligible.
I asked the outgoing SLO County clerk what number one question would she want answered, and she told me that she really wants a certified elections system, that the county has the money to buy one, but there's not a California certified one available.
And part of that problem was up until a recent change in state law, California is one of the few states in the nation that required a federal certification of new elections equipment that we wanted to use here in California. Most other states had the option of either federal certification or their own state certification based on federal standards. So now that's the law here and the case here in California. But to put the problem and the challenge into context, you know, we've come a long way since Florida in 2000. Bush v. Gore, hanging chads. You know, Congress at the time acted on a bipartisan basis, believe it or not. Congress acted on a bipartisan basis to say, we can't let this happen again. A lot of money went out to states for new election systems. In California, as well as other states, there was this mad rush to buy electronic machines. And what we found out after the fact is some were verifiable, auditable after the fact to verify the election results and the integrity of the equipment, but some wasn't. And so our current Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen, you know, the one thing that she did, you know, that will be her legacy is to decertify the machines that weren't auditable. But that left county after county asking themselves, well, if not these machines, what next? And so, again, the timing of this campaign, I think, is perfect because if elected, it's going to be working in partnership with each of those 58 county registrars of voters to determine the what's next, either for the state of California, if not for each county individually.
And Secretary of State Deborah Bowen is outgoing because she's run up against term limits.
Yes, this is her final term. I'm not running against Deborah Bowen, but somebody's got to fill her shoes. And I think between my local government experience on the city council in Los Angeles, my 8 years soon to be in the state Senate, my engineering background, good technical experience to bring to the table, and frankly, my nearly 20 years of being at it in politics, registering voters, turning people out to vote, especially in the communities that are considered the lower participation rate communities. It's a wonderful perspective, not just to bring to the campaign, but to the Office of Secretary of State.
On the issue of certified voting, do you think we're not quite there yet when it comes to online voting? Or like, does the public just not trust that sort of system?
Very, very good and timely question. As much as we do online, we pay bills online, we FaceTime, you know, we do a lot of things online. We're not quite there yet for voting for two reasons. Most people would, I think, understand the cybersecurity concern. You know, just ask our good friends at Target about that. But also, it's a matter of privacy. The way the internet is built, we know what the message is, what account it came from, what device it came from, what user it came from. When it comes to our votes, it's public information who voted in which elections, but we can't tell how people voted. Our vote is secret. Our vote is private. The internet isn't built that way. And so for those two reasons, security and privacy, we're not there yet on online or internet voting.
I know I said finally, but I do have another question because there's been a surge of efforts in various states in the United States, mostly red states, to have some level of voter identification, verifiable voter identification at the polls. Some see it as blocking people from getting to the polls. Others see it as trying to halt, voter fraud. In terms of California, where do we stand on that issue?
So the law in California is that you a voter does not have to show ID enabled in order to be able to cast a ballot. And that is a policy that was protected by the Federal Voting Rights Act for nearly 50 years. Now, the recent efforts in literally dozens of other states, as you mentioned, mostly red states, to undo that, the reduction of early voting, the changes in policy of how you can be registered or when you're knocked off the rolls, I view that as blatant, transparent efforts at voter suppression. You know, when in one state they say we're going to require an ID, a concealed weapons permit will count, but a university ID won't for students. You know, to me, that's more than blatant and transparent. I think California, given our the size of our state, the diversity of our state, can and should be the counterexample. Let's show how we conduct elections and encourage people to participate lawfully, but much more convenient, much more accessible, and let's lead the nation in that direction.
So you would work to protect or to keep the current system of no identification at the polls.
Yeah, you know, the argument that we need voter IDs to prevent fraud or root out fraud is just baseless. It may sound good, but the fact of the matter is voter fraud in the United States is minimal, minimal, minimal.
State Senator Alex Padilla from the San Fernando Valley, the Democrat running for California's Secretary of State this November. Thank you for joining us on KCBX.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm Randall White, KCBX News.